You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right. I'm here with Mr. Rapist himself, Clay Lemanski. Man of many projects.
Many projects.
Cemetery Rapist, Check a Bag. What else?
FRSS, Authentic Snuff, 9 and 33 Lorino. And I got another one I'm going to come out with here in a couple weeks.
Awesome.
That's ridiculous, but you know how it is.
Yeah. Dude, and then so right now, Clay was kind enough to stop by in the middle of his Midwest to East Coast run.
Yeah, a couple of East Coast states in there. They've been hollering at me. It's hard to get into some of those states. Not very welcome.
Well, same thing for us. If you're talking like Philadelphia, Baltimore,
I got into Philly by the skin of my teeth.
You know what I mean?
There was one guy willing to take the show, but yeah, Baltimore, like Washington, New York,
Okay. So just real quick right now, this is day four?
Day three.
Day three, yeah. And then how long is the total run?
Like 10 days or 9 days, something like that.
Okay, killer. And just to start off with, what are you plugging? This is for tour for the new album?
This is just tour for tour, bro. Like okay. I put out a new album, you know, a couple months ago.
Plug that right now.
Yeah, so my new album is out. It's on Spotify. I should make that very freaking clear. From My Puddled Phallic Drip is the name. It's the only album I got on Spotify. It's difficult for me to get on streaming platforms, but that one's on there and it's my best one, so that'll ride.
Yeah,
so,
good.
Letting the people know, man.
Did you have to do anything special to figure that out, to get it back on there?
I had to give my stuff up to an out-of-country label.
Okay.
So they could upload via like their Russian server. I just have a hard time uploading, so Vile Tapes took care of my upload. They're out of Russia. And so, I don't know, I guess it's had an easier time getting it on there. But as long as it's on there, man, I'm not worried about, all I'm worried about is people hearing it, you know? So it's up. I'm glad for that.
Yeah. So shout out to Vile Tapes for handling that and being able to make that happen.
Facts.
I would love to go into that a little bit. You've had a lot of issues with people. We've had a lot of issues with people. Same thing. What's the deal? Is it people that have a problem with you personally? Is it because, is it just that people are adverse to the content?
I think the problem nowadays is more based around what I call people's gang rags. Everybody's really worried about having an identity that's sort of like set in stone. There's no sort of waves to any of that, and they identify one certain way and that's the only way. You know, if you want to say that, you know, if you want to try to live like as non-problematic as possible or something like that, yeah, you know, I don't know. But I just think people's problem really is that they're soft, man. I mean, I
totally agree.
I could sit here and, you know, come up with some sort of like, you know, intellectual answer or something like that. But, you know, and I understand that not all music is for everybody.
100%.
You know, so I'm cool with that. But, you know, my shit's kind of out there and it freaks people out and people don't like being freaked out. You know,
yeah.
it just, you know, being uncomfortable is uncomfortable, makes people uncomfortable. So instead of dealing with me, they just try to get me to go away.
So these are people that are just, they don't even know you.
Most problems, I very, very, very rarely have problems with people that I know.
Okay.
It's just random folks on the internet.
So they said, but they see that you got a gig booked. Mm-hmm. They see Cemetery Rapist and they shit their pants.
Yeah. And then, you know, I always say, you know, I feel bad about like the venue owners and stuff. You know, guys will start getting emails, you know, it's like, you know, some guy, you know, in Ohio that just opened a bar and just wants to, you know, and somebody's hitting him up saying that, you know, there's some crazy person coming there. You know, he doesn't want the waves, you know?
No, I mean, no one wants the waves.
Yeah.
But that's how this shit goes down, because it's like, there's like a chain of command and everyone down the chain drops the ball of like not being able to stand on business.
Yeah.
As far as like knowing what they're getting into. So that's something we struggled with, where it's like, cause sometimes you just need a date filled.
Yeah.
At a fucking dive bar
where
they're not screening who comes in, and they don't care if it's a grindcore show, a porno grind show. They don't care if it's some edgy shit, but they're just trying to get a handful of dudes in to sell some fucking drinks. So, but yeah, there'll be people don't realize like, hey, it's incentivized for other people for whatever reason to try to shut this down.
Yeah.
So these are dudes trying to get brownie points.
Brownie points, man.
With
it's brownie points within their own little friend group in some city that you've never heard of. You know, some guy that has an anime picture as a profile picture on his
Dude, I know. It's always those fucking dudes.
So, you know, but, you know, it's, you know, we live in a time now where things are, you know, like I said, some poor guy that opened a bar 4 years ago or whatever, you know, he starts getting emails, and in the back of his head, you know, today he really might lose his bar. You know, if stuff gets out of control and they want to, you know, I'm just a passerby, you know, I'm just some guy coming through, you know, town. So some poor dude, you know, is thinking he's going to have long-term problems, you know, cause he has a band or something. You know, I never really blame the venue owners, I guess, for.
I don't either. And I want to call that out just cause I think that's fucking whack how these dudes are trying to, I'll say what I think. I think there's a lot of dudes that are really concerned. I mean, a lot of people are getting canceled. A lot of people are really now very familiar with trying to weaponize scenes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that there's people, I think the majority of these people don't have their own accomplishments. They don't got something else. They don't got like enough of their own shit going on to feel good.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know what? My band would look really good if I was the hero of the day who shut down Cemetery Rapist or Sketchy Band or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And
you know,
I just want to call it how fucking whack it is that they're going to go and fuck with, because we're talking, these are our low capacity venues.
Yes.
We're fucking with dive bars.
Yeah.
That is usually a family run fucking dive bar.
Yeah.
And these dudes are causing problems for these fucking venues.
Yeah.
And while also talking about how tolerant they are, and it's like they're blowing up the spot for everyone because you're going to do it. You like these bars are not making much money.
Right.
Bringing these people in.
Right.
And now they're already doing it almost as a charity.
Yes.
To the art scene, because they're cool. Obviously, they're trying to sell some drinks, but they're doing it to them. And now they're fucking stressing them out and they're pressing these venues. And it's just, again, my opinion, anyone who's doing that is being super fucking hypocritical. To pressure the venues, to give the venues a hard time that are already putting their neck out for independent artists and shit. So yeah, no problem. Just fucking while we're saying that, I definitely, anytime we talk about it, I want to just make sure I know, like, I totally agree. I think you're fucking soft if you're doing that. And I think you're a hypocrite.
Yeah. You're putting independent business owners in a bad spot.
And you're going to make them just not want to fucking deal with when they hear, oh, do you want to do hardcore, death metal, slam, grindcore, porno grind? They're going to be like, dude, these are all fucking drama queens. Yeah. At this, whenever we throw a fucking hardcore show, it's all drama queens.
Right.
Yeah. And the jam bands are not giving us this, and the cover bands are not giving us this. So you're by being divided like that and trying to cause a schism, you're fucking yourself over.
Yeah, everybody loses. Everybody's going to lose, from the bar owner to the bands to the fans. Everybody loses when we play these games, you know. And you know, I get it. I understand that, you know, there are some people that do sketchy shit, and you know, that sketchy shit needs to be brought to light. I'm not saying that guys that are out doing bad in their personal lives, you know, because they're in bands, you get a pass. What I'm saying is, like, I've been around for 20 years and I've never had any problems with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been involved in anything sketchy. You know, I'm not a sketchy guy. I'm not a felon. I don't have a record. You know, it's not like that. I'm just a guy that wants to play music.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. And just because me and another guy want to play different types of music, those guys, you know, cats are losing track of what's important, which is music, you know, and playing music and having places to play music and people to promote music too. You know, there's no sense in fucking, it's just like anything else these days, man. The divisiveness of every last little thing, cutting every last, you know, and we're talking subgenres of subgenres of subgenres of music. And we're now cutting those up into, you know, this goes into this section and this goes into that section. It doesn't make any sense, you know.
Totally.
If there's some sketchy, you know, if there's a real rapist in your scene, if there is a sexual predator in your town that is assaulting women, then do something about that. But
totally.
But it's not me, man. I'm just a band, you know.
Yeah, a
band. So
and that's the other reason I'm not afraid to just call it out and make a point too, because it's just like, bro, this is fucking slam. This is fucking porno grind. If porno grind can't be problematic lyrically, then nothing can.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to be able to do fucking anything anymore.
No.
It's going to get to a point where you're not even going to be allowed to learn about World War II or something.
Right.
It's going to get to it. If there's no place, I get it. If you were trying to get on a children's show,
right,
or what, on something, but it's like, if we can't have fucking metal being edgy,
yeah,
or whatever the fuck you want to call it,
yeah,
then you have nothing. And all the people who are working on that, you're working on behalf of the man that you think you're against, you're working on behalf of censorship, you're working on behalf of fucking bullshit, and you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought up, you've been doing it for a while. I wanted to bring it back to that because you are a MySpace OG.
Yes.
You've been here for that long.
Yo, yeah.
So can you talk about just your genesis? When did you start doing that? Because a lot of people know this style of music from you.
I appreciate that, man. So I started Cemetery Rapist in 2004.
And before this, you had many projects before this?
Before I started Cemetery, well, I started Cemetery Rapist, I was fresh 18. I turned 18 maybe 2 weeks before I started CR. And before that, you know, I played drums in some little metal bands or something. Nothing serious. Played a couple of shows. You know, it's the same old high school bullshit. But the thing with Cemetery Rapist is like, so I don't come from a metal background.
Okay.
I didn't grow up listening to metal. I currently don't listen to metal.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't come from a metal background and stuff. So I got peer pressured to play music by my high school buddies. I was a skateboard rat.
And okay. Like, but you come from what? Hip hop?
Yeah. Almost exclusively rap.
OG Wigger.
Yeah. Like, I grew up in the projects, you know, like the only white kid. I got jumped every week. You know what I mean? It was, you know, that type of shit. But, you know, so me kind of finding my way into the underground is just like pure accident. You know, after I graduated high school, I was trying to start bands, but I'd, you know, meet guys and, you know, we'd start talking about concepts and I'd say stuff like, you know, I think we should write songs about like feeding feces to children.
Yeah.
You know, and dudes are like, yeah, I'm not into that. You know, and I didn't know what I was talking about. I just really wanted to write songs about just like fucked up shit.
Had you seen that before from this porno grind metal side? Were you just into crazy shit in general?
I'd never heard that. But when I started Cemetery Rapist, I'd never heard of grindcore.
Okay.
I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what the underground was. I'm telling you, man, I went to a show. I saw a flyer. I was working at a furniture store in my hometown and furnishing campus apartment buildings for this shitty furniture store. I saw a flyer in a tattoo parlor window for something called Central Illinois Metal Fest, which was at the time the best, dude.
Yeah.
Best fest, man. Bishop, you're the guy. Best fest, man. And it had all these pointy logos and all this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
bro, I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything. Like, I'm telling you, bro, like, I don't know anything about anything. You know, I just see these fucking pointy logos, and then some of the bands on the bottom were like written in text. They didn't have their logos. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
And I'm reading some of these names, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Bought a ticket. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I had turned 18 just in time to go to this fest. And so I go to day one. I sit there by myself the whole day and, you know, watched as many bands as I could, went home and was kind of like, I was like, man, I want a band, you know, I couldn't find guys. I played drums.
That was going to be my first question is, as the man of many projects, I was like, are you just a fucking weirdo or something?
Yeah, 100%. I just hard to play well with others, you know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, it's a nightmare to coordinate. We're finally doing our band where we got five guys in it.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare hey, what is your work schedule? Hey, can you ask them?
Yeah.
Somebody's
trying to get laid. I'm trying to play guitar. I ain't got time, bro. You know? Plus, I'm an asshole, you know?
I'm the same way, too. It's been the same way. I've had people come in and out of bands.
Yeah.
It's just like, you got to do what you got to do. I'm lucky now. I'm at a point where all my guys are fucking cool. They know the deal. They know, hey, some dude's got beef. Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, whatever. So when we go, it's like, we plan out tourist shit to do. Cause it's like, yo, you know, the show falls through, we're going to have fun regardless. But like, we're not getting caught up in this.
Facts.
Cause man. We don't fire back. You know what I mean? When they do that shit, I'll stand up for myself, but I don't fucking fire back.
Yeah.
I don't
give
a shit about anyone else's band.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Certainly not.
We're hanging out with our fucking friends.
Yeah.
So keep going. One man's the way to go.
I didn't know. I didn't know anything. I was just salty because I wanted to be in a band and I couldn't find a fucking guitarist. I wanted to write songs about feeding feces to kids, man. I was like, what's the problem? I go for day two and I showed up a little late and I showed up just in time to see Future Paul.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know. I've never heard of a drum machine at this point.
At this point,
I've never even held a guitar.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I left the fest, right? I stayed for a couple more bands, but I was just like, tweak. I left the fest.
Tweak from seeing Future Pop.
Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck was that? Went down to my local music store and I walk in fucking typical, you know, fucking old hippie with the gray haired ponytail. You know what I'm
yeah,
like?
Yeah.
Yo. I'm like, I just saw this fucking guy, okay? He's just dude by himself, and he's got a guitar, and there's drums playing. How'd he do that?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he hands me an Alesis SR-16.
Okay.
And a fucking Dean guitar and a Fender combo amp.
Okay.
And I took my shit home. Never.
One-man band starter kit.
I never touched any of that shit. I'd never seen a drum machine. I didn't know what it was.
I would have been overwhelmed by that.
At first, yeah. I mean, like, the first, like, you know, the first year or two was weird, bro. Like, I didn't, you know, I've never, no one taught me how to play music or anything either.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
all just like me, like, just in an apartment, just trying to figure shit out.
When he hands you this Alesis, are you familiar with that from hip hop producing?
Not at all.
Okay.
You didn't even have any knowledge
hip hop wise as far as
I have
production goes.
No musical background whatsoever except getting peer pressured to play drums in my buddy's metal band.
Okay.
That's the only musical background.
So you go and you learn both of these at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really impressed by that because I wasn't even touching any, like, I played guitar for 6-7 years before I was like, I'm even gonna fucking try to touch drum machine, like try to learn something else from scratch.
Right. It's young and dumb, you know, like you don't really think about it. Just, I was so caught up on the fact that I wanted to play music and I wanted to play in front of people, you know, and that I wanted to make this weird shit, you know?
Yeah.
So like the first bit of like Cemetery Rapist, like the first Cemetery Rapist songs, they all sound kind of like the Berserker.
Okay, yeah.
You know, because that's just like kind of as that I heard the Berserker, you know, then now I'm starting to get into metal. You know, now
okay,
I'm starting,
so you're hearing this. Yeah. Or are you seeking out more shit like that? Yeah, cyber. Yes. You were like, now you were like, let me hear some cyber shit. Yeah. This is what I'm gonna be able to do.
Now I'm actively like, who are these bands? Where could I find them? How could this is before MySpace too.
Okay,
like,
this is
pre-MySpace. And it's ridiculous. It's like hard to find guys, you know. It's like, But I made a buddy, I played a show, I had played like 3 shows and it, like my 3rd or 4th show, I made a friend who was into the underground, knew the grind and knew the underground.
Before you go any further, how long did it take you to get to the point where you had a set from nothing?
6 months.
Not bad, dude. Yeah. So you figured out, okay, I just need.
I mean, it was primitive. You know what
primitive.
I mean?
Yeah, it was primitive. I just need a tupa tupa and a blast beat.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't. They were basically just like 1.5-minute blast beats.
Okay.
Like, just terrible guitar over the top of it.
Okay. So just
like no riffs, just
slurs and blast beats.
Yeah.
So, but then you're like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
As soon as you got it.
Yeah.
So pick up from where you're going.
So I meet this kid and he, you know, he's showing me the shit. Now I'm in the underground. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to his house. I'm burning. I bet I burned like 300 CDs, you know,
okay,
just going crazy. Now I'm like fully immersed, you know? And, so I released a couple like demos or whatever. And then in 2005 or six, I don't remember what year it was a summer. I saw Devourment.
Okay.
And like many people who saw Devourment, I was like,
hell yeah,
there we go. I'm a slam band now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So from I saw Devourment and just that, when I fucking felt that vibe in that venue, I was like, this is it.
This
is the greatest shit I've ever heard in my life. And ever since then, you know, how close can I get to Devo, baby? You know?
yeah. So you start putting the shit out, MySpace. This is MySpace.
Yes.
Because there's going to be people here that weren't even around for that.
Yes.
I was too young to be active, but I definitely had a fucking MySpace as a fucking 12-year-old.
I was the last of my friends to get a MySpace. I was like, you know, you got like, shit, man. I mean, I lived half of my childhood without the internet. I didn't get the internet in my house until I was like 12 or something like that, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, we're talking fucking AOL internet, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm offline, bro. You know, old school. Like I'm like, whatever. My cousin had to convince me to get a fucking MySpace to holler at some hoes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like that's where it started. You know, I didn't even get the MySpace at first for the band. You know, got it to fucking try to get at this bitch. You know, and when and it, you know, then I realized that you could use it for music and stuff. And so I was like, oh, so I, you know, and then recording at home too, back then, like, let me say this, bro, there's no interfaces.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just go to the store and buy a Focusrite, you know, and plug
for
it in.
$80.
Yeah. And then you got all these VSTs and bro, there's none of that shit. There's none of it exists, you know? So like recording music at first was really difficult.
What would you have to do?
You have to like run your amp head out of the speaker fucking output, like literally direct into your computer audio into the computer's like internal sound card. Yeah. And just, dude, it's just crazy blown out fucking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally.
I mean, otherwise you had to have like a mic and, you know, a whole like old school, you know what I mean? You know, but you'd have to have like a place for that. Otherwise you hear the fucking police cars going by and shit, you know, I live in some shitty apartment. So that, you know, wasn't it, you know? So yeah, those first recordings were rough and stuff like that. Just, it's hard to get out there. I would re-record songs like every 3 months and just like re-upload the same song to MySpace like 15 times every time I like, oh, I get the bass drum to sound better, you know?
Version 5.
Ridiculous, man. But yeah, that's how I started.
That's badass, dude, to figure that out. So you start posting this shit.
Mm.
So because I do think it's integral that you're around in this era that makes you OG like that, because that's when this, and there was probably, I'd love to hear your opinion about it. Once people were realizing you could do this really sick shit, and then there's an audience for it on MySpace, these people didn't even realize there was too much of an audience for this shit before.
Yeah.
And then becomes, then starts like the arms race for who's the sickest, most fucked up slam bands.
Yeah.
So you're there as part of this. Everyone, like at the time, anyone, there would be, I remember the viral memes of Job for a Cowboy and stuff, but then you would get Sperm Swamp, Waking the Cadaver, couple others that were where it was just based on its ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. It obviously wasn't like, oh dude, a bunch of people love this band. It was just, now here's a way to share the craziest shit. Before that, we were looking at shit on 4chan. We were seeing crazy shit all the time.
Yeah.
So we kind of got into it the same way. I got into grindcore from here in Anal Cunt.
Yeah.
We were just on 4chan and shit, looking at fucked up shit all the time.
Yeah.
Looking at rotten.com, looking at all that classic internet fuckery.
Yeah.
Shock site, but you know what I mean? I got into it from that shock angle too. So that's the other reason why I say, you know, fuck you if you're gonna take that out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those people, it's like, dude, I wouldn't know about this shit. And these bands wouldn't fucking exist if it wasn't for just being into fucking shock and crazy shit.
I mean, shit, dude, like, you know, people forget, like, you know, so like my mom, for instance, came up on Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like at the time, Alice Cooper was considered, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
And now, meanwhile, if you were to like put that under a microscope today, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, it's just some guy in makeup, you know, it's like not even a thing. Like there's nothing like edgy about Ozzy, you know, in 2025 type of deal. And I think that's what like people are sort of missing from all this. It's like, so like Anal Cunt's a great example. Like I know a lot of the questions today revolve around like if bands are problematic, you know, you hear that a lot, if bands are problematic, you know, and it's like, you know, Anal Cunt didn't influence anybody to do anything. You know what I mean? Nobody shot up heroin because of Anal Cunt. Nobody.
Yeah. I totally. Anal Cunt. Was there any kind of war or genocide, or were there any racist laws enacted because Seth Putnam was an edgelord? No. And I think that's even evident now, because even there's even PC kids or kids who would fucking start shit with a current edgy band that give Anal Cunt a pass.
Right.
Cause you could just tell, like, okay, yeah, they are ultimate edgelord goof asses.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to incite any kind of racial violence or like any, like the time has shown, like, no, they were fucking trolls.
Right. And, you know, and that's a thing. Like if everybody would have listened to fucking, you know, Tipper Gore about glam rock, you know, like, I mean, what good would that have done society? And then it's other things like, dude, Seth Putnam wasn't influenced by Alice Cooper.
Mm-mm.
You know, so like, what was Alice Cooper, you know, so like all the people in the 70s that were like, this guy is gonna, you know, that didn't, you know, my mom works at the university, at a university, you know what I mean? Like, she's not a free, it's like nothing happened. You know, everybody talks about who's problematic. Like, dude, like, I mean, there's a lot of problematic shit these days. Bands, man. Bands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, As I Lay Dying, the guy trying to kill his wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he goes back out on tour.
You know,
and everybody, you know, and everybody fucking gives him a pass, you know? And that's like, wait, no, killing your wife is problematic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, what the Lost Prophets did was problematic.
Yeah. That shit's problematic.
And keep that guy out. Definitely.
Right.
I have no problem with you saying, hey, Lost Prophets needs to get another guy before we book that guy.
Right.
He's raping babies.
Makes total
or whatever.
Sense. But Seth Putnam never hurt nobody but himself. You know?
Yeah.
And he didn't, he's, I would argue that Seth Putnam didn't influence anybody else to hurt themselves. Nope.
He influenced, people like me to be edgy white dudes.
Right.
But
right.
like beyond that, like, was there violence? Was there cause there's also no ideology behind it.
Exactly.
It's not like they had a political ideology or something. Their ideology was, how can we be the shittiest dudes to piss off the most amount of people?
I think, and I know that, so I don't listen to a lot of black metal.
So,
but I know there's like some black metal bands that like to tote the line, you know?
Totally.
And I, like I said, I don't know much about that. And So my opinions on that are a little rough, but I mean, I feel like if a band is like, you know, coming out and like you said, like they have some sort of, you know, Nazi ideology that they're trying to spread, you know, even if just through this, their shitty, stupid black metal band.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah, that sounds lame. That sounds not awesome, you know, but there's, like you said, like who in porno grind or any, you know, subgenre slam or brutal death or, you know, anything that we're doing in this little world, who the fuck has an ideology?
Yeah, beyond let's party.
Let's just hang out and do blast beats and drink beers and I mean, dude, there's it's so weird that the cancel culture made its way into an area of music that has almost nothing to cancel.
I agree, because there's nothing. I support, like, even whatever. I don't care if some black metal nerds, because it's always those Nazi black metal guys. It's always like a chronically online, Funko Pop collector. No disrespect.
No, I'm with you.
But like, dude living in their mom's basement that just does not go outside. You know what I mean? Wants to have that gets into some of the heavy shit with internet forums. I don't give a fuck if they have some stupid ideology with whatever. I think that should be able to be debated in the marketplace of ideas, and people will say, hey, I don't think it would take much time to be like, well, maybe you're a little hateful because you're a loser for something like that.
Maybe I don't want to book you, you know, whatever.
But then where the line would be is, for me, is if they're trying to say, hey, there's going to be some bands playing, and then after, we're going to go try to find someone to lynch, or after, we're going to go try to beat someone. If you're just using the music as a platform to do minor terrorism to regular terrorism, that's when I'd say someone should step in and just don't even let them do the shows, because they're using that as a recruiting tool.
Yes.
That's not going on ever. I understand that whatever in some remote places in Eastern Europe or something, that might be a thing.
Right.
And save your energy for them. You might help some people if you can really figure out that this is really being used as a recruitment tool for any kind of terrorism.
Yeah.
That's not what's going on here with you and your MySpace.
I mean, dude.
That's not what's going on with me here.
Good gracious. Yeah, I have a hard time that anybody can look at the stuff that I do, you know, the graphics that I use, the song titles that I use, and not find that funny.
I agree.
It's not to say that things like sexual assault are funny. The idea is that it's so over the top. Over the top that it transforms from, you know, something like frightening into something, you know, comically off-putting. You know,
and it makes you confront that because that's what I mean by.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you're starting this MySpace, so then now is like the culmination of this arms race for what is the sickest, furthest extent of extreme music.
Yeah, the arms race is a good way to put it too. That's really what it was. You know, none of us were saying that out loud. I don't even know if we really knew consciously, like frontal cortex, what we were doing.
Totally.
You know? But it was definitely a push. Like we had definitely decided that, you know, almost as just a musical society, if you will, that we were going to, you know, push these boundaries of like hyperviolence.
And you're also seeing that, oh, this dude's doing it and people like it.
Right.
And this dude can get a show as sperm swamp or whatever. Yeah. Like, so what's the fucking limit?
Yeah.
And so let's go back to that. You start getting some traction on MySpace.
Yeah. So around 2006, I put out an album called Children of the Porn, which is not about child porn. Yeah. It's clearly a play on Children of the Corn. And it's clearly because I'm from Illinois, you know? Yeah. So like, but whatever, right? That's a new one.
Yeah.
I get people saying, you know, no, I'm from Central Illinois, surrounded by cornfields. Like, it's my favorite movie in the world. Like, it's clearly a play, but I put that album out, and that's when the cricket vocals. My early stuff didn't have those. I accidentally learned these vocals during a really intense LSD trip.
Okay, awesome.
And yeah,
just, would you mind telling that story?
So I got some acid from a buddy of mine. And
legit stuff?
Yes. So he would get vials, liquid vials.
Yeah, okay.
In the early 2000s. Oh, should I keep playing with the money? This is in the early 2000s. So he's getting liquid vials and he's just dropping them on Pez candies.
Yeah.
And so what he didn't tell me was that he dropped them on both sides.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So this is my first
maybe time. A fat dropper full too. Dude, not ridiculous. Really.
He gave me one. You know?
Okay.
So I took three hits, which ended up being six hits. And this is my first.
That's a lot. That's too much. Yeah, for first time. Yeah,
this is my first trip ever. You know, we fucked up too. We took a bit, waited a little bit, waited like an hour, took more. You know what I mean? Took fucking a day to come down. You know, it's that whole shit.
Oh, you know what I mean?
But it was my first time tripping ass, and I had a buddy that was kind of like well versed in drugs, so he was kind of babysitting me through my experimentation, purposes. But he was real funny. He lived in this apartment, and he would come up with all these different ways to get me to be quiet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because he shared neighbors and shit.
Yeah.
And so like he told me his bedroom was haunted. And then he told me if I go in his bathroom, I can't look in the mirror.
Okay. You know?
And so it kept me out of those two rooms for a little bit. You know? Eventually I got to go take a piss, skip to take a piss. I know the mirror's over there. I'm going to look in the mirror, and I look in the mirror, and in the mirror I don't understand why it's a crowd full of Japanese people. Okay. I don't know why I know they're Japanese, but there's something about that I know. And it's like from the perspective of like, I'm looking through the mirror, like I'm on a stage and they're in a crowd.
Okay.
And they're very expectant of me. They're looking at me like I need to do something. And I'm lost, and I'm just staring at these people like, what the fuck are you doing in this mirror? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And then, so I start making that noise. I've never done anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where it came. I just started making.
Had you heard pitch shifted vocals?
I had heard pitch shifted, but I had heard some dudes who were getting down on some natural shit. You know what I mean? Like Brian Forg and from Gut Rot. You know, dudes that were really getting with it. And my vocals at the time sucked too, man. They were fucking terrible, bro. They were the worst vocals.
Okay.
And I was just struggling with it. I didn't know what to do too. So yeah, I'm in this mirror, start making this noise, and I was like, but they liked it. They liked the noise. The crowd liked the noise.
And dude, this is a hilarious origin story.
So I keep making the noise, and the more that I make the noise, they're just like going ballistic. You know?
And your buddy's like, "Fuck, this is what I was trying to prevent."
Probably
making crazy noises in the bathroom.
Yeah, he doesn't want me fucking annoying the neighbors. Now I'm in the bathroom. It's like three. Clearly annoying the neighbors. There's no way I'm not annoying the neighbors. You know, but I came out of the bathroom. And I don't know how long I was in there, you know, I fucking mirror. And I come out, my boy's like, "What was that about?" You know what I mean? I'm like,
was he like, was that your ass or was that your mouth? What hole was that?
He asked, he's like, "What was that noise?" And I was like, I was making the noise. He's like, and then he's like, "Why?" You know, I'm like, the people in your mirror.
The Japanese crowd wanted it.
He doesn't. He's like, the people in my mirror.
Sure, sure.
But the very next words is, "Those should be your vocals."
Okay.
You know, so. Boom.
So you felt that. You were like, dude, this is my thing.
I was just fucking high as fuck on acid. I'd have done I'd have done goddamn near anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on. So then like the next day I kind of had to relearn what was going on. My vocals are inhale.
So
I didn't know what an inhale was.
So
when I'm making the noise, I don't know what I'm doing. It was next day I had to kind of like backwards engineer what was happening here,
okay.
You know?
But you were able to figure it out.
I was able to figure it out. Yeah. So the early crickets are a little different. You know, I did them a little more like mouth open, tighter, a little more open sounding. And then I eventually, you know, I'm from the country in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And so cicadas are a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, and So I wanted to get it more cicada sounding and stuff like that, kind of whittled it down to that. So now it sounds like what they do today.
Talk about divine intervention.
Yeah, man. I mean, the whole thing with this music, you know, I don't have anybody in my family that plays music. I don't know anybody that plays mm-hmm. music. You know, it's, you know, talk about a calling, bro.
Yeah. Well, you're a pioneer in that regard. And that's, I would like to assume that that's probably given you some of the resolve to just put up with fucking being targeted or being fucking with people being dramatic about shit. Know, like, hey, because a lot of musicians, oh, my dad, I play on my dad's shit. I play on blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. This is, it only goes this way. You didn't have a preconceived idea of how to go about these things. So you were like, I'm just fucking figuring this out as it goes. And I'm definitely not playing by a rule book because there's no rule book.
Right. Yeah. The, you know, ignorance is bliss thing really helped me out. You know, it's just pure ignorance. I just wanted to play. And I just wanted people to listen, you know, and even if, you know, I said early too, it's like, you know, being, you know, this sort of like, you know, white kid from the middle of the cornfields in Illinois, you know, there's no identity in that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people from a lot of places, but from the Midwest, especially from all the Midwest states, and, you know, you come up out here and, you know, if you live in like New York or LA or something like that, and you want to get into music or, I mean, anything you want to get into, the way that I word it is there's like a running river that you can just jump right into and you're on a trajectory. And if you're in a place like that, you see people around you that have obtained some form of success through doing whatever it is they do. And so you have these, you know, tangible, visible examples of, you know, sort of what you're kind of aiming at. And then you have this sort of flow already of how you get there.
Yeah.
But if you're from the Midwest, like we are, bro, there's no flow, bro. Mm-hmm. There's no river. And when you look around, all you see is factory workers, bro. You know, so I so badly didn't, you know what I mean? Like I just so badly didn't want to just dissolve into the ether. You know? And I always struggled with things like depression and shit like that. And so it's just like, bro, you gotta have a why.
Yeah. You know, I totally agree.
Gotta have a why. So, you know, I didn't have any examples of like that, of where I was headed.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a flow of how to get there. All I had was the drive. And so it's just, you know, like anything, as soon as stuff hit me, it's like the MySpace. My cousin, like, get a MySpace. I'm like, oh, you can post music.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'm just, you know, and it was like booking shows. Like, you know, I didn't know how to do that at first, you know, and stuff. And even today, you know, I don't have a booking agent or a manager.
Yeah, I'm same.
Yeah, it's like, all this is just off the cuff, you know. And so, yeah, at first it's like, yeah, it's just ignorance is bliss, man. I just wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
And I when I found the underground, I should say this too. Like I talk about, I didn't come from the metal world and stuff. I don't listen to a lot of metal and stuff. And I think some people hear me say that and they hear that as some sort of like diss or something on the metal mm-hmm. community. It's like, I've never loved anything as much as I've loved the underground.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think, I mean, by this point, I don't think anybody can argue me with that. I've dedicated, I don't know, there's not many more people that have ran their lives the way that I have to be a part of the underground, you know, as much as I have, you know. So I'm thankful for the struggle.
Yeah. And that's why I reach out to people like you, because I have nothing but admiration, having been through some of it.
Hell yeah.
It's just like, shit does not fucking happen. In people, this is the other thing, people, shit does not change. In music, in art, whatever, until someone has enough resolve to not care if they're shaking things up. And I totally agree. And I feel the same way, just that we're having that outsider mentality to come into it. So it was like, well, I don't even know the rules. Even if I knew them, I wouldn't follow them because I wasn't part of that. We were not part of a group of metalheads or something who would have said, well, you got to do it like this.
Yeah.
There was no, point of reference or something like that.
It's like I kind of come from a sports background a little bit. And it's like, you know, if you like want to play like, you know, professional baseball, you know, first you play in the park district and then you get good and then you start playing private, you know, and then you start doing travel ball and then you get with a, you know, it's like there's a, you know, ABC.
Very clear trajectory.
Yeah, as to how to get to be a pro ball player. And it's like, yo, I think what's exciting about what we do, especially as opposed to other genres of music, is even today, there's no real playbook.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Anybody can do anything. If it works, it works. And I think I've always found that to be, you know, opportunity is exciting. You know what I mean? And that's how I look at it. You know, I look at the underground and grind as this endless genre. Mm-hmm. You know, it can do anything and we can put any aspects of anything. You know, if some band showed up, started playing trumpet, somebody's listening to that shit.
100%.
You know what 100%. I mean? Like, and that's exciting. You know, I think it's one of the only genres in music where, I mean, it's one of the only genres of music where anybody can jump in and be successful. With the understanding that success is going to earn you $0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like success, you know, whatever, but you know, that comes with a grain of salt. You know, I think there's also a lot of newer bands coming out right now that are looking to make, you know, they've been around for a year and they want careers. And, you know, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it takes 10 years. It takes 10 years of no one cares. For the first 10 years, you know, shut the fuck up, sit in your fucking bedroom, play your instrument, you know, shut the fuck up. Everybody's so worried about going viral and, you know, doing the next big thing or like sounding like this band so they can get on a tour, or sounding like this band so they can get on a label and fuck, I'm trying hard to hold my tongue on this one, but man, there's, there's, you know, there's some labels in death metal where you pull up their roster and you pop in a band and pop in another band and pop in another band. It's like, I heard Disgorge 20 years ago.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Dude, and you can see that with now because I was just thinking about this. Because now that labels are like propping these bands up, they're propping up bands that have been bands for 6 months and they don't know how to handle shit. So I see a lot of these death metal labels, they got to be like, because these bands don't know how to handle this real shit. Because it's just like you said, if you've been in bands for 10 years, there's no way you're with the same four dudes that were the first four dudes you were in a band with and you never had an argument or you never had like shit just happens.
Yeah.
So, but these dudes get really pressed about that. So they'll be like, oh, Jimmy on second guitar left. So we're a new band now. So it screws over these record labels because they're trying to push a release and the band's broken up by the time the release comes out.
Yeah.
So, and I got to tell people that all the time where I'm like, cause it's like, I'm sure, you know, like, I've done shit, you know, you've done a lot of projects. I've done a lot of projects where it's like, if you aren't playing shows with that project, you're not selling many of the releases. You're doing the majority of your sales at things. So it's like, I have releases that I didn't plan that out for, that I didn't properly do it for, that I am sitting on whole pressings of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So same thing when bands ask, blah, 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 I'm like, dude, you need like, there's no, do your own, put it up online and you'll see that you'll get two sales. That's your demand.
Yeah.
Until you go create more by having a good show and rocking it out regardless. But yeah, so you can see that in the egos of these people because there will be bands that are, they've been around for 6 months. They might get some buzz because a label puts their shit out and they think they're tough shit, but they never had to really learn how to do shit on their own and they never had to really struggle with any of that. So they're used to having shit handed out to them and then they can't even stick together for longer than 6 months.
I talk about the 1 year bands. A lot of guys will start a band.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
See if it pops. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And if it doesn't go viral, then
throw another dart at the
wall. Then they throw another, then they start another band. They start band. They start another band. They keep throwing darts, hoping that one of them goes viral.
And it's just like, bro, you're pissing off you're already five fans that you have, because it makes it harder and harder to find what you're doing when you're a different name every 6 months, because you're hoping. I don't know what the fuck you hope for. It's like, even if you get some viral success, that does not mean you go get 1,000 sales.
Yeah, it doesn't translate into you quitting your job and you know, playing music for a living. I'm not exactly sure what fucking anybody's after these days, to be honest. You know, if you look at the bands today that we consider great bands, what's interesting is we don't talk about those bands in terms of this video on the internet.
Song. Who gives a fuck?
We talk about them in terms of their legacy.
100%.
You know, and so I knew that was another thing I knew right away when I started as a one man. I was like, well, I'll never have to quit.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never have to break up. And so that being the case, nothing to me, and this is the same today, nothing to me is more important than my legacy.
That's awesome.
You know, I don't want to be viral. I don't want to, like, I don't care if I'm the hottest in the paint. You know, I don't care if everybody's talking about me and stuff. When I'm done, I need guys to be like, fuck, man, that guy kept it real, bro, for a long time. And that's what makes bands great. You know, legacies are what makes bands great. You know, like, why do we worship Macabre in Illinois? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not because of, like, you know, it's not because they're signed on this label and they have this video. You know, man, shit, dude. Like, same three dudes for 40 years now or whatever, too. You know, I mean, you can't beat that shit. It's that stuff that makes bands great, you know? And, you know, I don't want to be the old man shaking my fist at the internet, because the internet is awesome. You know what I mean? And, like, this whole social media shit, I know people bitch. I know it's, you know, bad for society and stuff, but as a band, this kind of rules. You know, it's like,
I wouldn't be able to link up with you. I've been able to leverage this to make a lot of amazing things happen in my life.
Yeah, man, I travel all around the world off of this shit.
You
know, and people give a fuck, and I'm endlessly grateful. So I'm not shaking my fist at the internet, but I think we live in just such this viral culture. It's all about how can you get, you know, and dude, like, nobody remembers who was viral last year.
No one knows that at all.
No, like, and I don't even mean in music. I mean, just in general. Like, nobody remembers the viral moments from last year. And you wouldn't remember them unless it was some meme that came up on your timeline or something. So, the one-year ban, the throw a dart until it hits, fuck, man, that shit wears me out, man. I like the idea so much more of guys starting projects on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With a purpose, with, you know, and wanting to stick with it, man. That's way cooler.
I think a lot of for these new people we were just talking about, they just can't differentiate between quantity and quality of attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you got one guy that really rides for you, that really supports you, that can help make shit happen, that's worth way more than a million views, you know, on a video or whatever. Until you have that, until these people get that, whatever viral success, they're not even going to get to the point where they can think of, oh shit, I got a million views, but I didn't get a single sale.
Yeah.
No one bought the CD just because I had a viral video.
Yeah.
How do the whole other game, how do I leverage attention to actually make opportunities and make whatever you would want as success? So back to, when does it start? Some shit pops off for you in MySpace, more or less, or you are able to at least start linking up and making shit happen for yourself, and you get the bug to keep doing it.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like 2006, it was kind of nice. 2008,
debuting the Cricket vocals?
Yeah, so 2006, I debuted the Cricket vocals. 2008 is when Children of the Porn came out.
Okay.
And I fucking think, God, I'm old. And I had some guys when Children came out, I was lucky enough to have some, that's when I started to kind of like make friends in the scene too, you know, like other bands started to take notice and like give a shit and stuff. So I had a couple guys that, you know, like reposted my stuff like in the MySpace days, and that was super helpful for me and all that. And so, 08, it all kind of like starts, you know?
And this shit was able to go around fast. It wasn't like now where you can, these platforms have a way to get you into paying to get exposure.
Right.
And this was wide open.
Yeah,
there wasn't censorship on it.
No algorithms, no nothing like that. So I had like, you know, I could, you put, I think they were called bulletins or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I remember the bulletins.
And I mean, I could post those and have 10,000 people see them by the afternoon. No problem. You know, pre-algorithm, pre all that, you know.
So you were hot on this, you know what I mean? This is what makes you one of the founders of it, is just that you were in the right place at the right time with this.
Sort of. A lot of it too was I forced myself on people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of it, you couldn't go 24 hours without, I'm kind of still like that.
Yeah, it's,
If you're, you know, into the underground and you're sort of like tapped in and you're looking around and stuff, you're not going to go too many days before I'm in your face, you know, like posting shit, reposting shit, you know, whatever. Just so back then though, you could really get some eyes on you fast and not like behind some stupid paywall or something.
Yeah. So you have a good run until you're playing until you go for a 10-year hiatus?
I had a 5-year hiatus.
Get me to there from when MySpace starts popping off.
The MySpace stuff is popping, and after that starts to pop, I'm really like throwing out to start to play overseas shows.
Fucking awesome. And do you, any of those stick out to you that you remember?
Oh, bro. My times overseas have been awesome. It's been a while. 2026. but I think the best show I've ever played is Berlin Death Fest.
Awesome.
Incredible. Nobody thought I was going to be there at the time. Mm-hmm. I was still doing some drugs, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so there, you know, and not, I've never been like a drug addict like that. Just kind of doing wild boy shit, you know?
Yeah.
So there's always, you know, like I did some wild boy shit back in the day. That's all, you know what I mean? So they weren't sure I was going to show up, and I showed up and it was just fucking crazy. I couldn't get through the door, man. You couldn't see the end of the mosh pit from the stage.
Awesome.
It was fucking incredible. That was incredible. You know, I did a UK tour with a guy that was a big time dickhead to me, but the fucking shows were awesome.
You know,
the shows were great. I think my favorite country is Mexico.
Okay. Oh yeah,
you know,
and they just love that shit there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They love the porno shit there.
Yeah. Mexico rules. Mexico is the best. They got the best food. Mexico is just the greatest place. It's just I hate that kind of Mexico has got shit on in recent years, man. You know, I know they, you know, politics aside and all
that. Yeah.
That place is awesome.
Mexico is, we had such a good, we were there.
The people are
year
so
and a half
cool.
ago.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
The people are the best, man. They're just the coolest guys and just like, man, I love it in Mexico. Best food. Fuck, man, I miss that food.
You were smashing the tacos every
day? Whoa, smashing. I mean, you know, the food carts, and they got, you know, it's like, you get, you know, I'm a vegetarian or whatever. Okay. So it's like, it's still like Mexican's the easiest food to eat as a vegetarian, you know, you go down there and it's like, get avocado and everything. They're pulling avocados off of like a literal growing tree.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nuts, man. It's like, I love that shit. That was the best. Berlin, those Germans though, they get down, man. They get down. They show me a good time. I'm not drinking any more Desperados, goddamn.
Yeah. So keep going. You get to do some good overseas runs. Yeah. And you're like, and were you like, shit, dude? This happened pretty fast. Like,
it was
pretty fast for someone who didn't play.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a struggle, you know. Like every day's a fight. Like I do band shit every day, you know, and I work a job, you know. Fucking. You know, own a home, and you know, it's like I got a life, you know, but you know, every day I'm sort of about that life. So it was nice though. It was good. I didn't have any problems. I should also say that too, like that was the whole thing with all this. Like I went, you know, 10 years and never had a canceled show
or for content or anything like that.
I'm telling you, man, from 04 until 2017 I never had a single problem, not one single problem. I played every show I booked. Nobody was online and saying stuff. And then, I hate to bring it up like this, but I have to bring it up like this, just the way it happened, because I am the most non-political band. I don't know why anybody could look at my music and see politics. That's fucking insane. You know what I mean? But, fucking, you know, Trump runs for prez, you know, and the country kind of gets riled out of that.
Yeah.
And out of that energy,
yeah,
is somehow I got wrapped up into that.
We talk a lot about that too, just as the genesis of that was, because it did not start until 2017
here.
And I think it was just once Trump was in office and people were really concerned. Obviously, they were really concerned because Trump is going super fuck your feelings, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
So I felt like the other side tried to compensate harder.
Yes.
I felt like they were like, I got to go double duty now. So like, cause the mainstream, the status quo is oppressive. Mm-hmm. I got to really go out of my way to show that I'm not with that.
Right. Right. And out of that per se, I'm from fucking Illinois. Like,
yeah,
I don't have to prove like my political stance to anybody. You know what
sure.
I mean? Like,
I'm just not
going to do it. And so that was the thing. Like, so when all that hubbub came out, I just kept doing what I was doing.
That has nothing to fucking do with it.
Yeah. I've been doing the same thing for 12, 13 years. Like,
yeah,
I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I think because I didn't, you know, to use kind of a term that's gone away, but at the time, you know, the virtue signal thing,
yeah,
you know, that was really big, you know, and I didn't see the need to virtue signal. I hadn't done anything wrong to anybody. I never have been around for 13 years, just some guy playing music, you know? And so I just thought, as I always have, you know, as every other, you know, presidential election, I'm just, whoa, look at that over there, you know, and I'm on my computer, you know, playing grindcore. And yeah, it just, you know, I'm a white man, you know, from the Midwest.
From a rural area.
Yeah, and I play offensive music. And that's like, so at first, that was all it took. You know, at first,
yeah,
it was like,
yeah,
this guy sucks. I had an East Coast tour booked, and I had people.
This is
2017. I have an East Coast tour booked, and I started getting contacted by the promoters saying that they're getting threats.
And this had nothing to do with you had beef with, so you kicked a dude out of your band and you got
this
a nemesis for this is a dude you ripped off on a bag or something.
Yeah. I argue I don't have any enemies. I'm sure there's guys that don't like me, but chances are
you have no case to build.
Yeah.
This is some dude that just hates me.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. This is all coming from nowhere. Yeah. Most of the time I hate, this is going to sound stupid too, but I don't have another way to word
it.
Most of the people that hate me, I don't know them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who they are, you know? And so it's like, I can't hate somebody I don't know, you know?
And that, yeah. And I only ask that just because our experience is that we've had show cancellations too, but it's because I had a dude, that kid that I kicked out of the band,
okay,
who was a total bitch, and I it's actually happened twice now. So where I've kicked two dudes out of bands, and then after they start hitting up shows saying, "Oh, I'm a white supremacist or something," like I would never. And I'm glad I started standing up for myself. I go, "Bro, like we definitely, me and my friends call each other faggots and stuff, but I've never been any part of any political ideology. Like I don't agree with that. Like our." We all went to college. We're not even like, we're not far right by any means whatsoever from Ohio, but we are white dudes from Ohio. And just I agree with you. For some people, that's just enough.
Yeah.
So this is before your hiatus, right?
Yes.
This is going up. So you've been active from these original eras up to 2017.
I'm active from 2004 to 2017. Overseas,
doing shit. So this is the first time.
Releasing albums, you know, I mean, this is the first time I have had any pushback.
Yeah, yeah. So go back to the story. So you have an East Coast tour booked, and they start saying, "Yo, bro."
Promoters start contacting me saying they're getting, you know, emails or Facebook messages.
And you have no idea who this is. So this is total news to you.
This is total news to me. We're getting threats. We're getting threats from local people that know who we are, you know? And so we don't want to hold the show, you know? And it's like, I fucking get that or whatever. But it was like, it was crazy because it was like five shows.
Yeah, yeah. Like, on what? Like a 2-week tour, 3-week tour?
Yeah. And all that, you know, Baltimore, Philly, you know what I mean? Like those cities and promoter after promoter, like in the same like 3-day span is hitting me up and saying, "We're going to cancel the show." And then around the same time, that's when algorithms and paywalls and all that. So all my stuff gets shut down. All of my Bandcamp, my YouTube, all my streaming stuff, anything online, my social medias, it all disappears. It all just disappears, you know, kind of. And that's like, you know, again, the beginning.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Beginning of these like algorithms, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And now it's even probably... it's starting to really feed it to the people that are getting outraged by it.
Yes.
Instead of the people liking it, being able to find it, the people that are freaking out are commenting on it. And then it goes, oh, so you want to see more of that because you're commenting
That's
on
right.
it.
That's right. And so by the end of 2017, I couldn't book a show.
Anywhere.
I couldn't do anything productive at all. I couldn't get back online. You know, I couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't get your shit back online.
Yeah, I couldn't get my music back up. You know, like before, you know, I'm just some grind band. So it's like no one notices me. You know,
I mean,
I'm not fucking Taylor Swift. Like I'm not getting like hella clicks and shit.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, these companies or whatever, they don't really care what the fucking drudges are doing down at the bottom, you know. But once those algorithms hit, you know, my titles, my song titles and stuff are clicking with those keywords and stuff
that.
And so I'm trying to re-upload my stuff and I can't. And, you know, I'm trying to book shows and I can't, you know. And then the whole just like, you know, I mean, we're talking 2017, 2018. So it's like, you know, now we're talking current events. We all know where we're headed here. The world kind of explodes a little bit, you know, everything just goes crazy politically and, you know, the cancel culture thing takes off. But what I don't tell people very often is that, I took the hiatus. Like I was kind of sick of shit sucking. You know what I mean?
I've been. Well, you're getting way less juice out of the same amount of squeeze you were doing before.
Yeah. 13 years of this and all of a sudden, you know, I can't book a show. But right around the time my old lady got cancer.
Okay.
So now she's fine now.
Good.
She's been in remission for years and we're past that.
Congratulations.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my old lady got cancer at the time and I, with all that stuff that was going on and with my lady having cancer, I was like, I got to lay down, man.
But I'm not pushing this boulder uphill to do this.
I didn't have the strength, man.
Yeah.
I just didn't have the strength, you know? So I just, you know, I've always had a job, you know, I've never, you know, all that stuff. I'm not the fucking band that, you know, like lives in his mom's basement, you know, you know, I've been on my own since I was 16 and stuff. So, you know, I just did what I was doing, you know. I just, you know, I started working more hours at my job to help cover, you know, some of the offset, the bills that were coming in, the medical bills and stuff. Those medical bills suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And before I knew it, you know, 5 years had passed. So,
and was that a bummer moment for you to have to put it down?
Was it
so hectic? You were like, there's no way I can realistically.
I was sort of lucky because shit was pretty hectic. You know what I mean? So I didn't really start to think about it. But right around year four.
Yeah.
And then after all that happens, COVID hits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then the COVID things happen. No one's working, you know, one's playing and stuff like that. So I also got lucky there. My hiatus overlapped COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bands weren't doing shit during COVID, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
nobody's
doing anything. So I feel like I got lucky there. Like it was time off, but it was like time off that everybody had took kind of thing. You know? But yeah, right around like year four, you know, the COVID stuff starts to die out and shows are coming back. And I got the itch, man.
Good.
You know, I just got the itch and it was, I was still kind of tweaked. you know, in my head about the state of things, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
If I wanted to fight this fight, I knew it was going to be a different world. I knew I wasn't just going to be able to just re-upload my shit and it'd be that easy. And,
yeah, you know, yeah.
And, but I, it's funny, I actually at the show, played a show last night in Slima and got to meet this kid for the first time. I was crybabying online about, man, I just want to be cemetery rapist. You know, I had, I have all my other projects, but none of them are as popular as, And I was like, man, I really want to be cemetery rapist. This kid left a comment. He's like, you know, the only person stopping you is you, bro.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, fuck, dude, I hate when people call me out. You know what I mean? I hate being called out on my shit. You know, so that's the came back, man.
So you were like, I got to thug it out. Were people during this hiatus, were people asking you? Were they like, yo, dude, come pull up and do some shit?
Yeah.
So you had, when you come back, is this you hitting up people, or you have some offers from people? You had to have had at least some interest from people that have been asking during the hiatus.
Yeah, when I announced my comeback,
and this is what 2022,
something 23? Like that. Something okay, like that. What are you, 25? I would say 2022, I think, or something like that. Fuck. It was. I had been gone long enough to where like, people had forgot. My fucking merch guy had me on Facebook and he didn't know I was CR.
Okay.
That's how long I had been gone. You know what I mean? Okay. It's like this, just like the sort of like normal everyday crowd just sort of forgot. So when I said that I was coming back, you know, it piqued a little interest by itself. So I kind of got a wave of interest right away.
Okay.
You know?
And then was that the first tour you did? Was that 2023? You started touring back?
I started playing out again. Well, when did I play Gulf Coast?
Shit. 3 years already?
3 years?
That was 23?
2 years?
It was my first, that was my first run back. That was like my second show back.
That was Gulf Coast Death as 2, I think. Because they just did 4.
Probably.
Okay.
So two, 3 years?
I know, yeah, because that was the same year we played right before that. They did a fest right before.
Yeah. So probably 3 years or something like that, yeah.
Okay. Badass. So that goes well. Start doing something, but just go through that with me. What's it been like since you've been back?
Terrible. it's wonderful. I always want to start by saying, like, man, I am so grateful and appreciative that I have people that consider themselves fans.
You definitely have fucking some fans.
I mean, I hope I never sound like I take that shit for granted, because I fucking don't. I am so conscious of like that 18-year-old kid in the cornfields, Illinois. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's so neat. So when I came back, of course, I couldn't just upload my songs. You know what I mean? All these algorithms are tight, bro. And all my song titles are fucked up, you know?
And you're like blacklisted on streaming services where it automatically flags it just for you bringing it up.
Yes.
While, as evidenced by your boy doing it, if someone else does it, they don't care. So it's not about the content at this point.
Right.
It's just that they got your IP or something flagged saying
there's something,
this
I don't
dude
know.
Won't learn his lesson.
Yeah.
You got blacklisted.
And so, like, you know, getting my music on streaming is difficult. You know, I only have one album up. You know, those old ones, you know, I wrote those albums before I ever thought about that. You look at some of them song titles and the artwork and shit, and it's just like, oh, bro, you're fucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like that's not going up.
You know, I have some albums that I don't even know. I doubt it. I doubt if I'll ever get them on Spotify, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's difficult because a lot, the way that people consume music now is very streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, music came from, people were listening to Last FM.
I was huge on Last FM.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, people were listening to Last FM. Now, not a chance. I mean, 100% of the population in all genres and all gets their shit from Spotify.
Yeah.
You know, they just go to Spotify. It's that fucking simple. Like, nobody thinks twice.
I was the same way. I mean, I had multiple iPods, like gigs and gigs and shit. It was Torrents and Soulseek, and I had everything on my thing. And then now, even now, I talk about that. We talk about it. It just makes me so lazy.
Yeah,
going back to the algorithm for it, they're really good at recommending some kind of stuff. There's some shit they don't get, but back in the day, when when it was private torrent trackers,
yeah,
and fucking SoulSeek. It was
easier to promote the gold.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just people really cared about finding shit.
Yeah,
and because you had to do it yourself, you didn't have an algorithm feeding it to you.
I liken it to sort of when the culture, like the generation before us, would go to the record stores and just and pick through those records. You know, they wanted to find the records, but if you talk to them, old heads, they'll tell you, like, you going to the record store. You know what I mean? The guy that's working there.
You had to go talk to the people at the record store to talk to music people.
Yeah, it was, you know, they would be at the record store for fucking 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it'd be like going to a show
for them, yeah, yeah.
You know? And it was the same, you know, in those like early 2000s, you know, in like 2010s a little bit, where, you know, guys, like, it was like a pride thing. You know what I mean? Like, look what I found, or look what I came up with.
100%. There was way more of a culture of you wanted to be that curator.
Yeah.
Because that curation wasn't being done for us by algorithms. So there was more respect placed on that. And that, like, again, I was in private torrent trackers where super anal about any kind that we have every release and every format. And you're kicked off if there's even a dust scratch on your vinyl, on your fucking 96K vinyl.
Right.
Like, just, there was a crazy culture of like obsessive music shit going on. And a lot of that definitely went out the window.
A lot of it went out the window. That's what I mean when it's like, it's, people have become comfortable with being given one option.
Yeah.
You know, and so like I said, like I take, you know, it's opportunity that excites me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's difficult to kind of like look at things and know that, you know, Spotify is going to run the world for the next 2 days. I mean, for as long as I'm a band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Until I'm an old man. You know, Spotify is going to be the one and only way. And if they're not going to let me on, they're not going to let me on. And then there's nothing I can do about that because mm-hmm. there's nobody fucking on things like Last FM or, you know, SoundCloud or, you know, those things are done, man. You know, mm-hmm. those things are fucking dead. So that's been a pain in the ass. Like getting my music out there today is so much more of a fucking pain
than it
ever has been.
And you really were, you flipped because at first they were helping you out a bit mm-hmm. with the MySpace era, just with the bulletins. They're not censoring it and they're not chokeholding it.
Right.
And people are saying, yo, this is crazy. Dude, look at that. Even if it's someone who doesn't give a fuck about listening to it. Dude, look at this band I found.
Exactly.
So that you were on the, at first they're helping you and then they change it and now they're really fucking, flipped on you.
Without MySpace, I would argue there is no Cemetery Rapist. MySpace was so integral to the growth, you know?
Yeah.
And without MySpace, I thank MySpace for a lot, you know? And that's weird to say, knowing what we know about, like you said, knowing what we know about social media today, because then I switch over to Facebook and it's a hindrance.
100%.
It's just a full-blown hindrance, you know? And what's interesting now though is that some years ago, you know, when you didn't play by the rules, that was seen as at the very least interesting.
You know?
And today, if you don't play by the rules, you are seen as like lazy or unwilling.
Or problematic. Or it's because you're fucked up.
Yeah. Why aren't you posting on TikTok every day?
Sure. And it just, I think that just goes to show the extent that people are able to fucking take what they're being spoon fed by these algorithms.
Yes.
They don't have that degree of separation to know, like, yo, you are thinking what you're thinking partially because someone makes money putting that in there and they don't even have that degree of separation to question that.
The idea that, oh, well, if your band doesn't come up on my TikTok feed, then I don't know who you are and I'm not going to know who you are. I'm not saying anybody, you know, there's right ways or wrong ways to consume, you know, your entertainment, you know.
Totally.
But it's just to showcase the difference, you know. Nowadays, if you don't come up on somebody's fucking TikTok feed, not only will they not know who you are, they won't give a shit who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care, you know. If they show up to a show and there's a bunch of, you know, logos on a flyer and they don't recognize your logo, there's a good chance they're not going to stick around and watch your set.
Totally.
You know? And so the, it's sort of, you know, I got ADHD, you know what I mean? So I understand the ADHD of, you know, also we became a hip hop driven culture. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big hip hop head, but those guys put out new music every day. It takes 45 minutes to make a new rap song. You know?
Yeah. I mean? Oh yeah. Well, but with punching, now that everyone can punch in, you know what I mean? No one is writing.
No.
It's all off the cuff. And there's some stuff I love. Like, you know, I love Young Thug.
Oh yeah.
Some Young Thug stuff who has those flows from punching in. But I work with, you know what I mean? I'm an engineer. I work with rappers. I had dudes, you know what I mean? For 3 minute song, over 150 punch-ins, and that's with me writing the lyrics.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it's like, yo, you cannot rap at all. I agree. You'd sell some drugs or something and you're like, whatever, you got an image, but we got rappers who can't rap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so I listen to a little R&B that no one watching this is going to get this reference. Roll with me here. There's an R&B artist named Jeremiah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just really like, there's videos of him, singing, like sitting in a room singing.
And okay.
He sounds like us, bro.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's totally. All auto-tuned out. You know, it's auto-tuned out.
You switch it every, because now you can correct every line.
But bro, he's the biggest male R&B artist out right now.
Okay.
And that's one of those things that I find like interesting. You know, in a world where like Whitney Houston set a bar.
Yeah.
And then today everybody's like, fuck that bar.
Yeah.
Let's go as far below that bar as we can get. Nobody wants to be Whitney Houston any fucking more.
No.
And that doesn't make sense to me.
Like, and I don't. Like,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Because they're not, I don't think they're listening to that. There's such a, I agree with you in the hip hop culture. It's not about the music.
It's not about.
Now it's about the mythology behind it. Everyone, if you're into drill shit, I mean, we got people that have nothing to do with gangs.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with any kind of street shit. Now there's a whole YouTube culture of explaining gang beef and explaining whatever. And people are like, oh, fuck yeah. And they're like, they don't care.
Right.
The music's good. They just want an interesting story.
Yeah. It's all about like everybody's so caught up on vibes and aesthetics and stuff. And listen, it's a shitty time to be alive. You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of opportunity. Like I said, there's not a lot of opportunity for guys and people are looking for solace in any type of way that they can get it. And I understand like, you know, the sort of way that entertainment or like personal entertainment changes, you know, and I get all that, but yeah, as a metal band, you know, or as a grind band, it's just, that's not how we don't produce music in a hip hop type, you know, like way. And now some bands do, and some bands can crank out 30 songs in 30 days
and drop it like and want to do a drip single release and want to have a lip sync video for TikTok.
Yeah, the whole thing. And that's cool. And I get that. And I get that. I fucking get that. Like, dude, I work a job. It sucks. You know what I mean? I would love to not work a job. Like, if some guy finds a way to play guitar instead of working a job, like, dude, I'm not going to shit on that guy for
get it back.
Like, that's awesome or whatever. But like, I say, like, talk about me personally. Like I said, I only care about my legacy, bro. I don't care about going viral. So I'm trying to make, projects, man, albums. You know, I'm trying to give feelings here and like, you know, give a full product.
Mm-hmm.
And but nobody gives a fuck about it. You know what I mean?
You have fans that do it, but it's a lost art.
Where's my 30-second clips? You know?
Yeah. Because it's just not the way people are conditioned to consume things.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you have as far as what you're looking for opportunity wise? What would you love to do coming in the next years if you were able to make whatever you wanted to happen? And if there's anyone out there who maybe wants to help you make it happen.
Honestly, bro, I'll be dead ass. Like, I'm okay. You know what I'm saying? I'll be able to do what I do, you know, for as long as I want to do it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not looking to break into the industry.
No, I'm not talking about that. But what, a Mexico trip, Colombia trip?
I'll do all that. You know, that's what I mean. I'll do all that. That'll all come. You know, I'm not even worried about all that. You know, what the only thing I want to do at this point, like, because I'm fully aware of my OG status. You know what I mean? you know, which makes me a little gray haired. I get that. But all I want to do is influence. I just want to influence the next generation. And I want to influence them in the manner of our shit, like we're talking about here. You know what I mean? And I want people to start bands and take them seriously. And I want them to care, you know what I mean, about their band, you know, not about their career. You know what I mean? Their band, bro, their music. I want to influence kids. That's all I want to do is influence this next generation of people and be in this TikTok world where everybody's like, bro, you're not even posting your riffs on TikTok, so you're never going to blow up, you know? And if you're not going to blow up, then what do you even do with your life? You might as well, bro, I can't. Like, how do I tell kids just like work a job? You know what I mean? Like, be normal. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, but I'm blue collar. You know what I mean? Like, go to work, you know? Like, and be passionate about music. Not, you know, don't chase success. You know what I mean? Like, do it for love of the game.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way after 20 years of all the shit that I've had to deal with, you know what I mean? And all that. And I've had some downs, but I had some ups too, you know, there's downs too, but bro, it's love of the game.
Yeah.
It's love of the game. And I just want cats to love the game. You know, I just want cats to love the game. That's all.
Dude, I fucking love that. That was great. I didn't want to interrupt that. Same here, man. My intention is the same thing. And that's why I really wanted to get you on camera and have you tell your story.
Because
that's what I need. Like, if you want to have success in this, not financial success, not whatever, but if you want to have fulfillment in pursuing your artistic endeavor, you got to have balls and you got to have resolve and you got to not fucking fold when trends come and go. And you've done that and you stood up to that. You've had that resolve and you had that individualism that you needed to succeed beyond that. So I really just want, that's why I wanted to have you here. And I think that's fucking awesome.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And I hope more kids get it because I'm nothing special, you know?
Yeah. It's not about being special. It's just about being yourself. And it's about fucking not folding.
Yeah. Anybody can do this.
Anyone can do it.
Anybody can do it. And it go, you know, and even if it's fucking beyond music, dude, if you want to be a computer programmer, go be a computer programmer. You know, that's cool too. But I think I hope people move through their life with a sort of passion based interest.
Yeah.
You know? And not like a financially based, and like I said, I know your job sucks. You know what I mean? Like, I know your job sucks. I know you want out. You know what I mean? But like, fuck, there's so much more than just like your shitty job. You know what I mean? I've been hearing a lot of these young cats. They're so caught up on their band blowing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they fucking hate their day-to-day existence, you know, in no man's land cornfield.
And that's why they don't want to lose it too.
Yeah.
Which is why they play the fucking cancel games or whatever. They're just, everyone is just scared shitless.
Everyone's
of not having their fucking 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes. Everyone's so, the bar owner's scared of not keeping his bar. The bands are scared not blowing up. You know, this guy's scared that he, you know, won't be remembered. You know, this guy's scared that he can't pay his bills. And, you know, life sucks, you know? And
yeah.
It does, you know? And like, bad things are going to happen, you know? But like I said, to be nobody from nowhere and, you know, to be in the middle of a tour and have somebody want to sit down and do an interview, bro, it's like the important, you know, just how good that makes me feel, like on a day-to-day basis, you know what I mean? Like on a situation-to-situation basis, the fulfillment that I've gotten back from music is more than I could ever give it, you know?
Yeah.
It's more than any sacrifice I've given. Even, I know people follow me on social media and see it's been a long year for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's been a long year, you know, but fuck, man. I mean, it's worth it. It's worth it. This music stuff's worth it. Putting 20 years into something is worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and then like sometimes not making money is worth it.
Dude, and that's what, how I'd like to put it is just life sucks.
Yeah.
And life is really hard at times. And you're inevitably going to struggle. And if you don't have that passion for what you're doing, you're going to give up.
Yeah.
You're not, you have That's to right. love what you're doing to yeah. put up with all the bullshit, but you're getting a bunch of bullshit no matter what you do.
Yeah.
No matter where, no matter how congenial you try to make your life to work at your job, there's going to be drama at your job. There's going to be bullshit everywhere, no matter what. And if you don't love what you're doing, if that passion doesn't fight you up, you're not going to be able to make that fight. You're not going to be able to put up with that shit. You're going to give up. You're going to be a 6-month ban.
Yeah.
When your fucking numbers don't go up or whatever. And it's like, if you stick with that, that fire, that passion you develop when you're rocking your shit out, that'll carry with you into every other part of your life.
Yeah.
If you know how to fucking stand up for yourself with your band when people are trying to cancel it or something, you're going to be able to go into your job or whatever the hell else you do and demand your boss treat you with respect too. So you learned, I'm sure you've learned a lot from doing this about life that carries in, that has nothing to do with porno grind, that has nothing to do with record collecting.
Yeah.
That makes you feel, oh, I'm glad I found my passion. I have more resolve in other things from doing this.
I mean, it's about, you know, finding something bigger than yourself and knowing that you're just a part of it and you just sort of go with the flow. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's more than music. It's always more than music. You know, music is art. Art is passion. Passion is love. Love is life.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's, you know, the 6-month ban thing, like we're saying, I said, it's, you start 1,000 projects. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
This is coming from guys who have a lot of projects.
I have 1,000 projects.
Yeah, I have a lot of projects.
I have 1,000 projects. Start 1,000 projects. It's, cats are looking for fulfillment in very short term, you know, like spaces.
Yeah.
And like virality, you know, and there's no fulfillment there. There's no fulfillment there. And it's not just about fulfillment in music. It's like, bro, you're going to spend way more hours by yourself in your fucking apartment or your house or whatever, you know, staring at the wall, playing on your phone, whatever you're doing, then you will be being an active band, you know? And it's like, you got to live with yourself for those times, you know? And, you know, it's like the the 6-month band thing, whether you wake up and you say, holy fuck, I'm fucking 35. And, you know, I love this so much and I've dedicated like my mind to it, but not, you know, my actions. And now I'm 38 and I fucking love music and I drive a truck, you know, and that's all I do or whatever. There's so much that comes out of being passionate about something, being weird about something, being a dork about something, you know, that kind of stuff. And I miss, like the underground, like just like dorks, man. We all we knew everybody and we knew every band and we knew all each other's business and shit that, you know, and it was just like it created a community that spawned friendships and relationships and stuff that continue to this day, you know, and will continue for many years beyond this day. And I really hope that the next generation of kids gets to have friendships that are based on passion and not based on like, oh, your band's cool and you're the shit. And my band's cool and I'm the shit. Now we're cool.
You know, and we're going to, and if we keep it up and we screw over every other band, we could quit our jobs forever and we could live in here. And it's just like,
or if I just make a project that sounds like if that band's popping and if we do what that band's doing, then we're going to pop.
Yeah.
Like that mentality is just, it bums me the fuck out. You know, there's nothing cooler than original music.
Yeah.
You know, like it, even people forget too, like, people forget what they were like when they were like 15 or 16 or when they were teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like they forget what made them passionate about the bands that they love, you know, and the things that they love. And then it's like they start their own projects and they sort of like you know, like go this like, you know, like modern, like type of, I need viral exposure.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that, and it's like, man, that's not why you love your favorite band. You know, you love your favorite band because you never heard a guitar tone like that,
yeah,
or
yeah,
it was some vocals you never heard, or, you know, just like the way an album was mixed or something like,
yeah,
that, you know, everybody. So when it, if it's like, dude, if one of your favorite bands had an album that was mixed a little different than everybody else's, and back in the day it used to be like that because home recording was so,
yeah,
like, raw,
yeah, yeah,
you know, it's so weird. So everybody sounded different because, you know, now everybody's just got to focus right. You know, yeah, everybody, yeah, everybody I fucking know has got a Focusrite, bro.
With the same VST.
Yeah, with the same, you know, VSTs that they found on the same YouTube videos that they, yeah, looked, yeah, up, you know, and stuff like that. And I just find it odd that, like, oh, you know, I, like, so when I was young, for instance, it was like Artery Eruption. They had, you know, their album sounded fucking weird, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why does it sound weird? You know, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, why their drums sound like this, you know, and nobody get it. But like, bro, I'll bring that band up and everybody knows who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like, yeah, right. So then they start a band, they go to the fucking studio, they make an album, they comes time to get it mixed, and they're like, yeah, we got to get it mixed by that guy so that we sound like that band, so, yeah, we, yeah, sound like that label, so we can get, you know. And it's just like, holy shit, man, did you forget, like, did you forget about that it was the, you know, I just, it's weird, you know, the originality in music, especially in the underground,
yeah,
it has sort of gone away.
Dude, I know.
And which that's really sucks because, like I said, grindcore is endless. These cats, you could play a fucking saxophone in grindcore somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how can you have a genre that has no end, you know, that has no limits, no laws,
mm-hmm,
and the last 45 bands that came out all sound like each other?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop with that, you know? Quit. Knock that off. Get some help, bro. Fuck. Drives me nuts, man.
Dude, you said it so well. I'm so glad you encapsulated that. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a real positive message. I hope fucking there's some people that if they're serious, they'll take some of the words of advice.
I hope so, man.
I appreciate it. Wrapping up. So you've been back. I had you on, that was 2023. Was, yeah, that though where we did the Tiffin gig?
I think so.
So you done just since you came back, you just done a handful of tours.
Yeah.
You did popping around festivals.
Yeah.
You were down in Gulf Coast.
Did a couple fests. Yeah. Texas got a lot of work. You know, I live, yeah, down in Arkansas. So,
okay.
Fucking, if anybody else says I'm from Texas, I'm going to freak. I'm going to come find you. I'm not from fucking Texas. That's, no, but yeah, Texas got a lot of shows. You know, I just been doing some, I mean, really just trying to get in where I could fit in, you know. So, booking, yeah, shows is difficult these days, more difficult than it has been. Just for all the stupid goofy reasons, you know.
Sure, but there's definitely people who know working with you that's going to be a part of it. You got to get everyone just on the same page with it to know if something, whatever happens, hey,
it should
don't
go
fold.
I think it'll go away.
It'll totally go away.
Yeah, I really do. I think, you know, any of this, I think we're on the back end of all this shit.
I totally,
you know,
so
and you can only sort of keep the facade up so long before it's like, can we just, you guys want to hang out, you know what I
mean?
It was like you were saying, like, we're talking about, you know, bars and, you know, we're not talking about fucking House of Blues here, you know?
You're fucking fighting over the 100 cat bar.
Yeah. We're not at CDG's,
like, dude,
you know,
you're fucking,
yeah,
this up for everyone.
Yeah. So it's like, I think we're on the back end. I think a lot of bands are starting to, like, let their guards down. I've had some, since my comeback, I've sort of made friends with some guys in some bigger bands and stuff like that. And,
cool,
you know, I don't even think they would have been willing to even talk to me, you know, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So just, and it's guys that I'm not going to throw them out there. It's guys that I'm sure their managers,
yeah, we're hesitant.
They don't, yeah, yeah, they don't want my logo anywhere near theirs. You know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put them on blast or anything. But even stuff like that, you know, like just that sort of openness and willingness to talk, you know, and stuff. So I think a lot of this is going the way of the dodo bird, man. A lot of people that have like sort of issues with something as dumb as grindcore, like you said, kind of chronically online, You know, I haven't seen him in any shows. I don't think anybody else ever seen him in any shows. I don't know who these people are or anything that. And to be frank, I don't think anybody knows who any of these people are. I think they're just fucking, you know, like chronically online robots, you know? So it's coming to an end. It'll all come to an end. And you know, guys will get active again. I like I said, I just really hope, you know, I hope people take being different as a positive and not a negative.
100%.
Being weird and sounding weird or doing something weird, you know, it's fucking not weird. I say, you know, it's not that that individuality is the only thing that we have. You know, we don't have Coachella. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is all we got. Like, there's no labels we want to like give us paychecks and stuff like that. So I'm really excited. I like the next generation of kids. These young kids coming up, these teenagers and stuff coming up, they got good heads on their shoulders.
And I really want to, that's what I'm doing here, is I really want to leave this for them. And I want this to be accessible, to see that people like you and I can have a conversation with the views that we have. Mm-hmm. And it can get to the people that inspires it. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're not going to get blacklisted or something.
Right.
That there's people on the other side. This is how people feel about it. This just isn't the perspective represented in the mainstream.
Right.
So I hope I have done that. What do you want people to check out of yours now? And what should they expect moving forward?
Right.
So let's leave it on that.
Facts. So hit up my social media. My IG is at @oneman_menace. The same on TikTok and all that shit. And I got as many online, you know, as I can, as they'll let me have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no A in the word cemetery. Quit pissing me off. That's why you can't find my shit on Spotify, because you can't spell cemetery right. Quit it. Knock it off. There's no A in the word cemetery. But I'm doing my best to get my old albums up on Spotify. You know, I got a lot of old music. I know people want to hear that, and I'm trying my best with that. But as far as the future goes, man, stay up on my social media. I post every fucking day. I got another album almost done.
Fuck yeah.
So, I mean, I'm good to go. You know, I might be an OG, but I started Cemetery Rapist when I was just a kid, and I'm not that old, you know. I got plenty left in me, man. I can still hang with y'all, so I'm gonna be around, man. Everybody better get used to me. There's no more canceling. Next time I go away, it'll be because I want to go away. It'll be when I'm an old man, you know.
Damn fucking straight.
So yeah, hit up my social media. I got music. That's what I do. I make music. I ain't worried about going viral. I make music. I give fucking full experiences when I put out my shit, man. Come find me. I will not let nobody down. And I got lots of music from 1,000 different projects coming, man.
Dude, Clay, thank you so much for making the time to come by and kick it. I really appreciate it. That was fucking awesome.
Absolutely.
I hope some of you listen to that. So especially the ones that are sending me demos and shit that are a new band next month, because Timmy's girlfriend said he had to take a hiatus.
Yeah.
I hope you listen to that and take some inspiration.
Do it, man. Do some weird shit.
Bro, thank you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine.
So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,